everyone. It's your co-hosts, Isabel and Nora again. We've missed you guys a lot, and we hope you're excited about what Wellness Weekly has to offer this quarter as much as we are.
This quarter, me and Isabel will be releasing an episode every other week, and we wanted to say that we care deeply about the quality of content that we put out for you guys, our listeners, and we genuinely want to take our time perfecting it. Therefore, we're sort of experimenting with this alternating week schedule, and we hope that you bear out our experimentation and continue to enjoy Wellness Weekly.
So first, we have an exciting announcement, which is we got sponsors, and it's all thanks to you Wellness Weekly supporters, and your listenership means a lot to us and gives us the funding to produce even better content. So we'd so incredibly appreciate it if you guys ride this one out with us and listen to our episode sponsors. So first, Elm Coffee Roasters open in Pioneer Square and South Lake Union for takeout and soon indoor seating. Order coffee and more at elmcoffeeroasters.com.
Next up, if you're looking for a place to live in the fall with student-friendly amenities, spectacular views, and a walking distance to campus, check out the M Seattle Apartments. They are the only student living high-rise near UW, and they've recently dropped their rates on all of their floor plans. Visit themseattle.com for more information.
All right. Yeah, thank you so much to our sponsors. Today we are going to talk about introversion and extroversion and what that means in the context of mental health and relationships.
And particularly sort of as how these two concepts have evolved and how they're affecting us right now during quarantine and given the pandemic.
Yes. So first off, Nora, would you describe yourself as an introvert or an extrovert?
Yeah, so this changes sort of in waves depending on my mental health, but I am mostly an introvert, sometimes extremely introverted, but if I'm comfortable, I am more of an ambivert, and when I'm doing consistently well with my mental health, then I'm more of an ambivert. What about you?
I would say for me, it also does change. I'd say I lean on the introverted side of ambiversion, but depending on how stressed I am, I can get more introverted, whereas if I'm not under a lot of stress, I would say I get more extroverted, and I also come across as a lot more extroverted.
So how would you say we could define introversion from our experiences?
Okay, that's a really good question. I think for myself, it's just like where I get my energy. I feel more extroverted when I feel as though I get more energy from socializing, and I feel more introverted when I feel as though I get more energy from being alone.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I think for me, I always imagine my social abilities and my social skills to be interconnected with this imaginary social battery. And for me, the way to recharge that battery is to spend some time alone and to like get away from social interactions so that I have like more energy to not just engage in social interactions, but also to just do homework, enjoy like reading, or you know, just generally energy that can be distributed to different things. The way I view it is sort of where your energy input is mainly from. But I think I've seen a lot of people sort of have different experiences with that, and I want to acknowledge that not every introvert perceives their introversion in the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something so important to note. Everyone does have a slightly different definition of the topic, and there's definitely no like one scientific level of introversion versus extroversion that everyone is at all times. And it is also something that can change over time.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's not like it's set in stone from birth onwards. I think that's something that there may be a lot of misconceptions around, but I personally feel as though my own levels of introversion versus extroversion have changed like so much even over the course of college.
Absolutely, I agree with you. And I think one reason we really wanted to talk about this today is because we feel as though quarantine is kind of making us rediscover our inner introvert. And it's a time when introversion is sort of the norm.
How do you think like quarantine has changed societal views on introversion? Do you think that it's made being an introvert like more acceptable by society standards?
I think that's a a super important but also sort of difficult question to have a comprehensive answer to. So from my observations, I think my extroverted friends have been spending a lot of time talking to me about what it's like being an introvert and sort of learning from me. And it's super interesting. And I've had really interesting conversations about that. They always ask me, like, how do you deal with it? How do you, like, spend your time and, like, manage it? And how do you, like, sort of get enough social interactions? It definitely, I think, would raise awareness on some of the struggles that introverts go through. And I think from my small social circle, I think there's a lot more conversations about what it's like being an introvert a lot more often than before the pandemic. What about you?
Absolutely. I agree that there are definitely more conversations on the topic. And I do think that from what I've heard from my extroverted friends, in general, more people are trying to discover, like, what they can get out of being alone, the types of activities they can do, or the things, like, they can accomplish that they realize they don't necessarily need other people to do. And that can be both, like, lonely and empowering, in a sense, I would say.
Yeah, I totally agree. Being deprived of social interactions and having a lot less opportunities to do social interactions, and also being the person who isn't often the one initiating plans, I've sort of been able to learn how to be more extroverted because I've sort of also learned how to value social interactions more. So I think it's also, at least for me, was going both ways, where my extroverted friends were sort of learning from me and I was learning from them. And it was a really, honestly, beautiful sort of way of, like, getting in each other's brains or putting ourselves in each other's shoes. And it was really nice.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying about valuing social interactions more, because I feel like pre-pandemic, it was so much easier to take them for granted. And now when I do, like, see someone outside of my immediate COVID bubble, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Like, I'm hyped up for it. And I feel as though I gain energy from the interaction as opposed to losing energy. In some ways, this pandemic has made me understand a little bit more what it is like to be an extrovert, just in terms of so missing the extent of social interaction I had pre-pandemic. And really just enjoying interactions with new people too.
One new struggle that I think I faced as, like, an introvert, I sort of, like, need to brush on my social skills, I feel like. And it's sort of embarrassing for me to think about. But I've noticed myself being energetically drained from social interactions a lot quicker than before the pandemic. And I just wanted to highlight that because this sort of relates to struggles that we might have to face once we start going back to normal and as the vaccines are being distributed widely now in Washington. And so it sort of put a new topic of conversation in my head about, like, oh, I guess I do need to exercise this muscle of social interaction and learn how to, like, recharge sort of in a more efficient way. So that kind of, like, touches on some of the challenges of being an introvert, which is something that we wanted to talk about. We want to talk about the challenges and benefits as well, because we think that maybe challenges sometimes get highlighted more often than benefits.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's so important to discuss because our society really does glorify extroverts. Like, there's often the assumption that if someone is quiet, like, there's something off with them, when, like, really, that's not the case. You can be quiet and still very much contribute to any setting. And even in classes, like, you were graded on participation, the number of times we speak up. As an introvert, that's something I've kind of trained myself to get used to and to get comfortable with. But I remember when I first started being graded on participation, it was a bit of a unpleasant surprise because I was like, okay, this is something, like, my more extroverted peers will have an easier time with than me.
I totally relate to that.
But what would you say, like, the benefits of being an introvert are for you and, like, in terms of your interpersonal relationships?
I think being respectful of other people's boundaries, I think it's a skill. And in my limited experience, I have noticed introverts to be a little bit more sensitive to that and a little bit more aware. There's little tiny things that I think people do not consider as possibly crossing a boundary, and I think easily sort of missed. But I think introverts, because they have, in my experience, a little bit more of a higher level of boundaries, they sort of try to reciprocate that to other people. And yeah, and I think that's something that is sort of a benefit of being an introvert, although it is not exclusive, obviously.
Yeah, but just like one thing that, like, in general, introverts do show a lot of.
What about you?
Ooh, for me, I think I would say creativity, because oftentimes introverts try to really push against the grain and try to figure out the areas in which things should change and can be improved, just like through like sheer observation, because I would say in general introverts are like very observant. We take our time to warm up to new surroundings because we are like really just getting a temp check on everything. And if something isn't working for us, like, we may be very likely to want to change it or to want to question why something was the way it was in the first place. And like this originality and this sort of like, why maintain the system when we can like drastically alter it? And not that extroverts don't do that. I just do think like introverts' general like levels of observation really play into it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. On the opposite spectrum though, do you want to talk about a challenge that we both expressed, like having inconsistent levels of social batteries?
Oh yeah, that one is tough. Like when you finally like have enough energy to like go out and like hang out with a certain person, and then they are also introverted and their social battery is really low, and you just never find a time when like you both have like fully charged social batteries.
Yeah, it sort of can be unpredictable and make it hard to like coordinate social outings. And yeah, I think it's hilarious a lot of the time. Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we have a message from our sponsor, Elm Coffee Roasters. Open since 2015, Elm Coffee Roasters is devoted to high-quality coffee that's easy to brew at home and a joy to drink. At our roastery and cafe in Pioneer Square, Seattle, Elm obsessively roasts small batches of coffee that they source with a focus on sustainable practices that lift up the whole supply chain and protect the future of the coffee plant. Elm's goal is to make a truly exceptional cup of coffee, an experience you look forward to every day. Cafes in Pioneer Square and South Lake Union now open for takeout and soon dine-in service. Please use code PODCAST at elmcoffeeroasters.com for 15% off your next coffee order. Thank you.
Now back to our episode.
Now we'd like to segue into how mental health struggles affect our social interaction and how experiencing a mental health condition can be confused with introversion when it's not necessarily the same thing. However, of course, both deserve a lot of respect.
From our own experiences, if a loved one is going through mental health struggles, exhibiting things like closing up, refusing to engage in social interactions, needing time alone, all of these things. And I think when you're an introvert and you ask your support system for time out, it's something to be respected. Sometimes when you're going through mental health struggles, it's difficult to identify that you need your support system. Both can look like they're the same thing, but they're not. And I just wanted to acknowledge that people can look like they need their time out, but if they're going through mental health struggles, supporting them by reaching out and constantly asking what they need is a much better response.
Absolutely. Yeah, like the importance of not assuming what someone needs, just because, like you said, the two can look similar from an outsider's perspective, maybe, depending on the person. And then also another thing going off of what you said is that just because someone's an introvert, it doesn't mean they don't want social interaction. It doesn't mean they don't want friends. It just means they might need fewer friends to feel like they have a solid support network, maybe, but that's not the absence of connection. They might prefer just fewer friends, but more meaningful connections, as opposed to a wider circle of acquaintances, that sort of thing. And yeah, just so important to know, like, your introvert friends, of course, like, still want to be friends with you. Just something important to state in this podcast, I think. Another point for me is how when I am shamed, however, for needing some alone time to recharge my social battery, that does negatively impact my mental health. And it should be normalized, the idea that everyone needs a different amount of socializing to be happy. There, especially in college, there's such a narrative that all college students party super frequently or make a ton of friends and, you know, like, never want to be alone. But really, that's not the case. And I don't want to, like, put a number on it, but that's not what many people would relate to themselves in college.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, and I think growing up particularly, you could be sort of, like, shamed for wanting your alone time from, like, family even interactions. I grew up in a very crowded house, and so I always wanted to be in my room and take my alone time. And sometimes just the way that my environment was receptive of that was not the best thing for my mental health, because, like you said, it was shaming me for needing my own time, and that does negatively affect mental health.
One last question for you. Post-pandemic, when most people are vaccinated, what will you as an introvert take away from the pandemic?
So many things. I want to highlight two things. One, never take your extroverted friends for granted for initiating outing plans, because they've always taken out sort of that responsibility for me. And now I'm gonna be so grateful for them and forever continue to reciprocate that effort, because now I've been put in a position where I understand how hard it is to sort of initiate outings, especially when it's more than one person. So thank you, my extroverted friends. I will appreciate you and continue to appreciate you. And the other thing is that I think the pandemic sort of helped me be more in connect with how my social battery works and when exactly I need recharging and how I need that. It helped me sort of gain clarity on what's the best way to recharge and what things drain out my social battery the most. Like, outings that involve a lot of people that I don't know, or, you know, there's a lot of energy of trying to get to know a new potential someone. And so these two things are definitely, I've learned through my time in quarantine, and I'm gonna hang on to them. What about you? I'm curious.
I think for me, just, like, it's okay to change, because obviously so much changed in so little time at the start of the pandemic, and I had to really drastically, like, reduce my amount of social interaction in person. And I would just let myself know post-pandemic it's okay for my social battery to fluctuate a lot, and especially because I do think we're gonna go through a lot more change as a society in terms of reopening post-vaccination, like, giving myself a lot of grace to change day by day, like, how much energy I have for social situations, because sometimes I think pre-pandemic I would just want there to be, like, a consistent level, but it would never be, like, 100% consistent across a month, like, how many hours or whatever of social interaction I want. Just giving myself grace for, like, figuring out my new bandwidth and how, you know, it may be a lot more, it may be a lot less than pre-pandemic. I don't know, but
I love that.
Thank you.
I think I will do the same. Yeah.
All right. Any final points, words of advice to our listeners, whether introverted or extroverted?
I think we just wanted to give a quick disclaimer that everything that we've discussed in this episode comes from purely a personal perspective and from personal experiences. We might have discussed the experience of being an introvert in a universal manner. We might have used sentences that reflect generalization, but in no way, shape, or form do we mean to generalize, because we recognize that even our own experiences with introversion has shifted and will shift in the future, and our understanding and our own perception of what introversion includes and doesn't include will change in the future. We apologize if, as a listener, you didn't feel reflected through our experiences and you didn't feel as though our experiences were relatable to you as an introvert or as an extrovert. And we hope you enjoyed us talking about our experiences from two introverts.
Yes. I guess one more thing, like introversion versus extroversion isn't like a strict binary. You can obviously, you know, fall on like different points, like along the spectrum of it. And it's not just an either or type of thing, I would say. Something final to add. But yes, thank you all so much. We really appreciate you. Thanks again to our sponsors. Thank you, Nora, for being an excellent co-host.
No, Isabel, thank you for being an amazing co-host. We hope you take care of yourselves throughout this week. We're so excited for you to join us in our next episode.
Take care, everyone.